Welcome to Correctional Commentary, a podcast about the ins and outs of corrections, an uncensored view from behind the walls, hosted by Robbie and Caleb.
Hello to everyone. Welcome to episode 4 of Correctional Commentary. We are your hosts, Caleb and Robbie. I'm Caleb. That's Robbie. On this particular episode, the good, the bad, and the ugly of corrections. For our Clint Eastwood fans, Outlaw Josie Wales. Great movie. Side note. Sorry.
Oh, good Lord, Caleb. But great if team. Y'all... So, I mean, there's a... Going into this career, you know, there's a lot of good... Whole lot of bad...
Oh, good God, and, yeah.
And I would definitely... Unfortunately, it just comes with the territory.
Oh, yeah. And I would say the ugly... Robbie, we're going to start the ugly. There's a lot of ugly people, and I don't mean like heart-wise. I mean, there are some people fell out of damn ugly hit every branch on the way down, and somebody's waiting at the bottom, hit them with the ugly stick. Hey, I mean, yeah, God, if ugly was a crime, that's what they'd be locked up for. I'm just telling you. And that's not talking about just the inmates, because I know I'm one of them. Hello. But, you know, one of the definitely ugly things that I've noticed, the rapping. Good God.
Yeah.
I know I'm not a rap consumer. I like good old country music, but I still know a good rap song when I hear it, I think. But I have not heard a good one at all. The amount of aspiring rap stars in a correctional environment is blow your friggin' mind. That's one thing I want to say.
Yeah,
I've heard better rap from John Cena the Wrestler back when he was in WWE than I've heard from some of his inmates. And he was a white boy.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, that's just the harsh reality of this profession is, yeah. You know, and the good and the bad can change on a dime.
Oh yeah. And, I mean, literally like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's why, you know, whenever we go into work in the morning, everybody say, hey, how you doing? That's too early.
Yep, don't know. Don't know how we're doing yet.
No, that is a very common saying whenever you go into work. Hey, how you doing this morning? That's too early to tell.
Fuck off. I ain't not even halfway through my day yet. Let me alone.
Yeah,
my favorite phrase was when they'd ask me, how you doing? Shut up. I've not had my coffee yet, so I ain't answering that. Not until I have my coffee.
Or energy drink.
That too.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. What do you want to start with, Caleb?
All jokes aside, I think, you know, let's just kind of start it from, I like bad news. I like the formula of bad news and good news first because, you know, you always end on a positive note. So let's start with the ugly and let's work our way up from there. I think one of the ugly sides of corrections, I know one thing that always got me. I worked in visitation for a little while. One thing that always got me is, you know, these guys, it's not a blanket statement, but there's a lot of inmates out there that are good people that just made some stupid decisions. Really,
oh, absolutely.
Stupid. But what really it would get me is you have these guys, I mean, they were respectful to the staff, they would always follow the rules. Well, mostly always follow the rules. But you never really had to say a lot to them. And they were, you know, respectful. But what would really get me is that you have these guys come into visitation and their families would come in and, you know, their kids would come and see them. And at the end, you know, these young kids, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, don't really understand what's happening. And I'll never forget in particular, and it, man, it broke my heart because, you know, I've got a soft spot for kids. I just, they're so wonderful. And I believe they're truly God's greatest gift to humanity is they embody God's spirit, you know, truthfully. And it always broke my heart in this particular case. The young kid, I think it was, I want to say a little girl, might have been a little boy. I don't really necessarily remember that. But she was they were about 5 years old. Visitation for the day had ended. And they did not understand why their daddy couldn't go with them. Mm-hmm. And it, I mean, the kid was started bawling, and it just it gives me goosebumps to this day just thinking about it. Because she, like, we almost had the parent, the mom, or the adult that was with them almost had just about had to pry the child off of their daddy, because they didn't understand, why can't daddy go home with me? Why can't I be with my daddy? And again, that was one of those guys that was, he was an inmate. He did stupid decision. I mean, he wouldn't have been locked up otherwise, but it just broke my heart. I would definitely say that's definitely an ugly part. Especially if you're somebody like me that has a soft spot for kids, that wants to protect kids. That's one of the reasons I got into it, was to protect the innocent.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And, you know, that can roll into a lot of places, you know, as far as the, you know, that's a big thing.
Yeah.
Of these guys that are locked up. I mean, you know, they're still people, but.
Yeah, they are.
Unfortunately, we have a job that we have to do, and most of the time, our job and their antics and what they're trying to do collide drastically.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, if anybody that goes into this line of work, if you're, you know, religious, or if you have I have extremely high morals of, you know, there's certain things I won't cross, point blank, period. But, if you're in this line of work long enough, you know, you're going to come across these guys to where, you know, they just got a phone call and their mother passed away, or their one of their parents, or even a kid.
And that's breaks. One of the,
yeah, I mean, it's, your heart breaks for them, but you can't show it on how you normally would. And just so y'all guys know, this is my little sidekick. She's back with me again today. But it's a good and a bad side.
Yeah.
Because I mean, a lot of these guys, even the inmates, the other inmates that they're locked up with, you know, they don't care about them. And
that's the thing for our listeners out there. You guys have probably seen in the movies where inmates can't cry, like, in front of other inmates or anything, like, and that is true. You can't. You have to almost be, Robbie, I don't know if I'm using the right term, so please feel free to correct me, hard, like that cold external shell. You have to be that person all the time. And COs, believe it or not, we get a little bit more leeway with that because we're not inmates. But even then, we still have to be very careful about what kind of compassion and empathy we show, because while we're showing it to this inmate who is going through, just had a life altering event on the street, we might have another inmate watching who might try to use that to their advantage
and turn that against them. Yeah. I mean, and that's why, you know, it's so important for you to have high morals, and because it's, you know, You're gonna come across those situations at some point, point blank period, of where you want to be able to help that guy, or even somewhat be there for him. Sorry about the interruption, guys. I had to fire my sidekick and kick her out. She was starting to be restless and had to go out. But we're gonna jump back on, to where these guys, you know, they're still people and they still go through the same things we do on the street, but it's just a little worse for them because, you know, they get told that, you know, hey, your mom just died, but, you know, you can't go to the funeral.
Yeah.
And, if they're lucky enough to get to go to the funeral, you know, they're in cuffs, shackles.
They have an escorted. Yeah.
I mean, I could honestly say, you know, if I was in their situation, I wouldn't want to go to my mother's funeral like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
You know, it's a feeling that working in this line of work has definitely made it to where I would never want to put myself in that situation. And it opens your eyes up and it has made it to where I can, like, coach my nieces and nephews mm-hmm. in some of their life decisions
mm-hmm.
and explain to them a little more why, you know, why you don't want to be there.
Yeah. In fact, I can even add on to that. My niece, back when she was, you know, she was a little bit younger than what she is now, she looked at me and said, "Uncle Caleb, I want to go grow up be a corrections officer." And Robbie, I'm not gonna lie, and listeners out there, my niece is extremely smart. She's got so much potential. I'm not saying that just because I'm her uncle. She's an idiot. I'd call her an idiot, but she's not. She is just extremely intelligent, extremely talented, has a very bright future ahead of her. And when she said that, I just felt my heart drop. And I looked at her and I said, "Baby girl, whatever you do, well, that's an honorable profession. It is 100%. It's a great profession. You are too innocent. I don't want to see your innocence get taken away, because you're going to see stuff that Uncle Caleb doesn't talk about. And I don't want that to happen to you."
Yeah. I mean, that flows into, you know, the stuff that we don't talk about.
Right. 100%.
I mean, I'm like, with me and my wife, we're a little different. Yeah. I mean, I'm a firm believer in you either need to tell your spouse everything, you need to tell them nothing.
And see, that's where Robbie and I do differ. That's where you and I differ, Robbie. There is still some stuff that I don't tell, that I've not told my wife, that she is, as the years go by, and the more I get separated from that line of work, and that I'm able, because I'm one of those people that deals with stuff at a later date, you know, just kind of puts it in my own psyche or my own heart to deal with it later. It's like, I can't deal with it right now. I'm just not ready. And eventually it starts to seep out, and it might take 2 or 3 years. It might take 2 weeks. And there's a really determining factor. So there are some stuff that I have told my wife. There are some stuff that I have not. I think eventually I will. It's just not right now.
Well, and you know, I think some of the stuff that happens to us, we just get so desensitized to it.
Oh yeah. 100%. That,
like, I don't, like, something that someone that doesn't work in this field would consider traumatic. I don't consider it traumatic. I've had incidents happen at work, and you know, like with me, what I told you, you know, what I told you that I share everything with my wife. That, but I mean, there's some stuff that, you know, that I tone down, that, you know, she doesn't need to know the full gravity of the situation and how bad it was. But a lot of things happen that it's just a normal part of her day. And yeah. I don't think that it's like anything worth bringing up, mm-hmm. but we'll be in a conversation later on that day, and I'll mention it. And she's like, "You never told me that." And I was like, it just wasn't something. And she thought it was a big deal.
Yeah.
But that's something to go to show you the stuff we deal with. It can affect our mental health drastically, mm-hmm. and it gives us, it's a very high stress, high anxiety world that we live in.
And that right there is another reason why, and I will stress on this too, the importance of non-work related hobbies.
Oh yeah, for sure.
For me, I love motorcycles. I love hunting, fishing. I love the shooting sports, football, especially college, as you know, hello. But and I love reading, and that, I mean, that's what gets my mind off of it and helps me deal with it productively. You know, there's always unhealthy coping things, and I know several officers that have done that over the time. They've regretted it. That's the reason why I've always been strict to stick with my healthy stuff, you know, like the one that just Robbie, I don't know about you. What are some of your hobbies even? What are some of the things you do?
It's very easy to go down that dark road and get into drinking, and mm-hmm. a lot of COs do it.
Oh, and God, a lot of them do.
It's something that I did, you know, on my earlier part of my career, and meeting my wife really helped pull me out of some of that stuff and got me onto some of the healthier stuff. You know, like I do a lot of, I like to golf, bowl. We play a lot of board games.
Yeah.
Just stuff that keeps your head from having to wander too much. I mean, because this, because it wreaks havoc on your perception of people.
Yeah. And I mean, it will. And the thing is too, in addition to that, if you don't have these healthy, creative outlets, burnout becomes a serious, God awful thing to have to deal with. I mean, I know I dealt with, that's the reason I took my hiatus like I did years ago at the only time. And Robbie, I would assume the same thing happened to you when you took your hiatus. It was just the burnout. I mean, it was just overwhelming at times.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of people that they brag about, you know, always being at work. And, you know, it's something that I've decided, you know, that I'm doing is, you know, I take a vacation every quarter, whether, you know, I'm on it right now. I mean, I'm taking at least a week, maybe two off.
Mm-hmm.
I usually put in for it whenever I get it accepted. And I'm going to take at least a week. Then I'll take the second week if I need it.
Yeah.
But everyone gets so caught up. And I mean, we get enough. That's the thing. We get enough vacation time and comp time. And for those people that don't know what comp time is, whenever, you know, we work holidays, most of the, you know, you go into this line of work, you're going to work holidays.
Yeah. You better get used to it now.
That's another, you know, that's another bad about it is once you sign up for this line of work, you know, there is no, oh, I'm not going to work. You know, we don't shut down for holidays.
It is not a Monday through Friday 9-to-5 job by any means. I mean, it is 24/7. You have to be there. They have to have people that, regardless of the weather, regardless of what's going on in your community, you got to be there.
I have spent the longest that I've spent at the facility was a little over 78 hours.
Damn.
We had a bad ice storm and they pulled out cots and we slept up in the visitation gallery.
See, I never had that. I was always fortunate. I mean, I guess it was more stupidity on my own part. I was determined to make it home regardless if just because I had to get out of there. But that was me. That's not to say Robbie's right and even I'm wrong. It's our different mentalities. Because for me, I had to get out of there just to get a true break. And that's not a one size fits all. And that's not to say that I'm weak and Robbie's strong or vice versa. It's just a matter of fact, if you will.
Yeah.
And I will say this, Robbie, because I know we want to talk about the good as well. Make sure we don't leave that out because you just brought it up. You kind of touched on it. The comp time, the vacation time, that is definitely a good thing about corrections and in law enforcement in general. You're going to have plenty vacation time. It's next to impossible to run out unless you call out every day. I mean, you just about got to intentionally want to run it out.
Oh, for sure. I mean, and it allows you, you know, it allows you to have a whole different type of financial freedom too.
Oh, yeah.
Because there is absolutely no shortage of money to be made.
The only
way you cannot make money in this profession is by just being lazy and not want to work.
Yeah. Now,
I mean, there's, I know guys that they make officers, mm-hmm. like as an officer with only a couple years in, they make over $100,000 a year just because they work.
Well, and that, now I will add to that though, there's that precarious balance, so to speak, because for me, I want a true work-life balance, work-home balance. I love my family. I mean, I'll be honest with you, for the listeners, my wife is my best friend. I love that woman to death, and I want to be with her as much as I possibly can. Now, granted, she has been with me for the entire time we've been together. I have done nothing but corrections, law enforcement, or security, some type of security work. I've been in the security field total of almost 8 years, and that part of the job doesn't change. You know, whether what I'm doing now with the federal government, we still got to have people there 24/7. The schedule doesn't necessarily, there's still a lot of hours required. It's just less stressful now compared to what I was in. But yeah, I don't want to work 7 days a week. I at one point in my life, I had two jobs just trying to make extra money. But now I know at the time I had to do it, but I don't want to do it anymore. Is my point.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. And, you know, that used to be one of the things about how this profession used to be. Mm-hmm. It used to be that's the only way that you can make, you know, a good living is by working the overtime. But, I mean, the raises that we've gotten, the ones that we're getting as you move up, I mean, I'm just now starting to roll into that slot to where my paychecks are really good. I don't have to worry about working overtime. So, I mean, you'll get there. I mean, the time will come. Yeah. I mean, the time will come. That's why, you know, it's so important to have a good support system. I would say say is the best thing.
Yes. And I will even say, I did not get close with a lot of my coworkers, but just a very select few. Robbie was one of the ones that obviously I got very, very close to, and I'm very thankful for that relationship. But this is kind of one of the ugly sides as well. You know, we talked about the ugly side as far as inmates go. In my career, I was stabbed in the back by people wearing the same uniform as me that I thought I could trust. And didn't find out until it was too late. So I took that, and it's probably wrong to do, but this, I took it as, okay, I can trust anybody. I got to be very selective of who I trust and who I interact with outside of work. And I became very, very selective. And that is kind of that bad side, because at the end of the day, like we, Robbie and I talked about in past episodes, the politics that come along with our profession, you don't truly know 100% initially. This guy you think you can trust, you think that, okay, he's going to have my back. Yeah, he's probably going to have your back inside the wire as far as, you know, you get into a fight, obviously, assistance call, yeah. But he's also, he or she may or may not be looking for your first screw-up so they can turn you in and make themselves look better. Not to say it happens all the time, but it definitely does happen, and that is the bad, if not ugly, side as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and there's – that's why I think it's important to – because not all officers are – so me, for example.
Right.
I am a completely different person inside of work than I am outside of it.
100%. I can.
And a lot of officers, it's – you have to be real meticulous about how you act. You either need to be yourself outside and inside of work, or you have to be really good at acting a certain way.
Yeah.
And I am very inside of whenever I walk through the walls, my mindset changes instantly.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100%.
I mean, my mindset and the way that I act, the way that I talk, and you probably heard people talk about me that, oh, he's an asshole. I mean, whenever I'm at work, I am.
Yeah.
And I'm an asshole to just about everybody. So that rolls back around.
He was consistent.
Yeah, but I mean, but that rolls back around to me and you of,
yeah,
you know, how that's why I think it's important to get with some of your coworkers outside of work.
Mm-hmm.
Because with me, if you didn't know me outside of work, no one would want to associate with me.
Oh, 100%.
Just because, I mean, and maybe it's different with some people because some people may realize that, but a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
And
oh yeah. Well, I'll even tell the listeners about Robbie. When I first met him, I remember because Robbie, it was like him and I just, it's like we had this weird unspoken connection almost immediately. And it's like, I could tell he was an asshole, but me, I'm an asshole as well. And I like that kind of, because you know what you get. you know, the assholes like the Robbie and I were and kind of still are. We're straight shooters. You know, we shoot from the hip. We're not going to lie to you. We're going to tell you exactly what's on our mind. You don't have to worry about that and the deceit there. And I feel like that's one of the things that kind of drew me to Robbie. And, you know, we hit it off pretty instantly. And, I mean, Robbie, correct me if I'm wrong on that. And we've been good friends now for, gosh, how many years? 3, 4, 5 years, something like that. I mean, good God, how long has it been?
Something like that.
Yeah. And, you know, we all four, our wives and us, we all get together pretty regularly. And it's always a good time. But what I see the side of Robbie, I would definitely guarantee that it is completely different than what his coworkers see. And Robbie can even say the same thing about me. What he sees in me outside of work is completely different than who I was behind the wire, behind the fence.
Yeah, I mean, and I would say, you know, and I can only speak for what people have told me about how I act differently, but I don't think it's as drastic with you as with people say it is with me. I mean, because I am night and day from how I carry myself.
Yeah.
Because me personally, whenever I leave, I try to take my uniform off. The last thing I want to do is be in control.
Yep. And I can even attach to that. Like that makes me want to talk about too. You have to leave work at work and at home be at home. So like Robbie was talking about, like taking his uniform shirt off, not wanting to be in control. For me, I had a similar trick. And when I was an FTO, I would tell my trainees the same thing, to develop their own mental trick. Mine was, when I got home, I took off my uniform shirt and I took off my boots. That was my brain saying, okay, I'm done. Like, I can be Caleb at this point.
I wouldn't even, and it even now, I've gotten to the point to where about the only thing I'll do whenever I get home before I take my uniform off is say hi to my wife.
Yep.
I don't give her a kiss saying her hi. The first thing I do is I take off every piece of clothes that I worked and I change.
Yep. 100%.
And that helps shift my mindset of, you know, hey, I'm not a controlling person anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of switch out of that asshole state of mind.
Yeah.
And, you know, even then I still get reminded, you know, unfortunately this is something that I think everybody runs into from time to time with, if you're married, you know, they'll look at you and tell you, you know, hey, I'm not an inmate. Quit talking to me like that.
Yeah. And I can even, another funny story, because you know me, I've always got a good funny story. When I was in the sheriff's office, it was high stress at the time. I mean, it was balls to the wall, just being straight up. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget, I come home, and this was before my wife and I were married yet, but, you know, we were still together. And one of my dogs decided it would be a good idea to piss in the house right in front of me. And I just got off a long ass shift. I mean, it was just one of those nights. And without thinking, because I hadn't truly separated myself yet, I looked at the dog and told him that I was going to lock him down for 30 days. He was going to go to the hole for 30 days. My wife, being the patient, loving, no nonsense kind of woman, looked at me and said, "What did you just say to the dog?" And I said, "I'm going to lock his ass down 30 days. Dadgummit, he pissed in the house. Fuck him. I'm going to put his ass up, lock his ass down." And she said, "Caleb, stop. Think about what you just said. You are not at work." And and my wife has this way of pulling me out of it with simple phrases like that. It's one of the reasons I married her, because she needs to be made a saint in history, because dadgummit, that woman is. And I realized in that moment, I was like, oh, crap. I just told the dog I'm going to lock him down for 30 days for pissing in the house. Like, oh, shit. Okay, wait a minute. You know, and it brought me out of that. But, I mean, that happens. Even to the best of us, the worst of us, whatever, it's going to happen. And that's the reason why I like to touch on what Robbie said, to have that great support network that can kind of call you out on it respectfully and support you and be there and still love you through it almost.
Yeah, but I mean, this whole thing is, and I know we've been on more negative than we have positive, but I mean,
to the positive, definitely. We need to definitely talk about that.
Yeah, I've been in a lot of situations to where it brings me my spiritual peace of being able, and I think that's a big one for me.
Yeah.
Is me and my personal is I want to make a difference and I want to leave a footprint on with as many people as I can. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these inmates that we deal with, we're the first, positive role models that a lot of these younger kids have. And, you know, I'll never forget the times to where, you know, I've ran into an inmate overdosed and given them Narcan. And I'll never forget the moment whenever I seen them a week later when they got released from the infirmary, you know, coming up and saying, thank you for saving my life.
Yeah.
And that's one of the
unspoken benefits.
I mean, it's something that, you know, not everybody gets. I mean, I've cut people down from trying to hang themselves, and it's a bad, but it's also a really good thing. It brings and the conversations. I mean, the conversations that you get to have with these inmates can be extremely positive and extremely beneficial. You know, this job's going to be what you make of it.
And I agree 100%, definitely. And you know, that's one thing about correct. You will have the opportunity if you use this perspective, because I know I used it and it helped me. It's an opportunity to be able to talk to 1,000 different people from 1,000 different walks of life that were probably maybe one out of that 1,000, hypothetically speaking, was similar to yours, but it wasn't exactly like yours. And you learn how to talk to these people. You learn how to communicate. You learn how to bridge the gap, because you know these inmates see you as a CO, as an authority figure. Like, oh man, they're just like police. They're going to treat me bad. And da 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 da. And you know, one of the things that I loved is I would have inmates that would have a bad interaction with either one of my colleagues or a former corrections officer in prior, and they would expect, like, I'd have to go correct them for something minor, but my thing was trying to get ahead of the curve before it turned into something major. And I would talk to them like human beings, and they would be kind of shocked, like, wait a minute, you're not going to cuss me, or you know, you're not going to do this and that. It's like, no, why would I do that, man? Like, you know, you have to, my rule of thumb was with inmates, interacting with inmates, they had to earn my disrespect. I would go out of my way to treat them equally like human beings. But as soon as they crossed that line, it was over. Now, the caveat to that rule was, if that happened today and I had to come back in tomorrow, it's over. Like, it's done. Whatever happens in that shift, I go home, I forget about it. It's just business. It is nothing personal. And these new COs that are listening, the ones that are thinking about this field, even the old heads, I highly encourage to remember that. If you take one thing away from this show, it's just business. It's nothing personal. You know, for me, what drives that for me is if I put myself into that inmate's shoes, how would I want to be treated as an inmate by a correctional officer or somebody that had authority like that over me? And it's always with respect and with dignity and humanity. You know, for me and Robbie, I don't know if you feel comfortable talking about this, but I definitely do. I am, the listeners out there, I'm a Christian through and through. I'm a man after Jesus Christ's own heart, God's own heart. I love God. And I want inmates to see, I want everybody to see that. You know, I know I cuss and I know I don't act 100% like it, but my actions are genuine, and I I want my actions to speak for me and let God speak through me. And, you know, one of the things that I love too is I've got, I'll show it, kind of show it on camera if I can. I've got a tattoo, my only tattoo that says Jesus saves. And inmates, and I got to watch a lot of times when inmates would see that tattoo, they would almost like, I get to watch them like, okay, they would breathe a breath of relaxation. Like, okay, wait a minute. Because that they know what that cross means. They know what those words mean. Okay, he's a Christian. He's gonna be kinder. But I'm also not afraid. I was also never afraid to break my foot off in their hind ends if need be. And they knew that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and yeah, I'm not either. I mean, I'm a very religious person, and that's, I think that's part of the reason what brought me and you closer together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also one of the things that has pulled me back to corrections, because I felt, because, you know, the lifelong or the old tell of, you know, make plans and God will laugh and just send you on the direction you're supposed to be.
Oh yeah.
And I feel like this line of work is where God put me and where God mm-hmm. wants me. And it's where I will continue to be until I feel like he is changed my direction of where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons I left, because I feel like God led me out. He gave me a once in a lifetime opportunity. And I feel like that if he didn't want me to leave corrections, he wouldn't have given me such an opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that is a huge good for me, is the amount of spiritual peace that this job brings to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it brings some bad mental health stuff, but it brings a tremendous amount of spiritual peace to me of, you know, some of these guys that are incarcerated that, you know, you can go up to them and say, you know, and one thing that you can go up to them and say is, hey, you know, if you're going through a hard time, you know, I'll pray for you.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
And I won't ever let any work that I'm at tell me that I can't pray for someone, you know, and hope the best for somebody.
Right, 100%.
That's what a lot of these officers get, I guess.
Yeah.
Filled with themselves. They feel like, you know, that they can't. But that's something that brings me a tremendous amount of peace and fulfillment.
Yeah.
I've sat with a kid that, you know, lost his parent, and, you know, I just, you know, yeah, you can't sit there and you can't hold your hand on him and you can't pray.
Right.
But I mean, but I'll tell him. I'll be like, hey, I said, you know, I'll be praying for you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and me as a follower of Christ, you know, if I tell somebody that, it will happen.
Yeah, and, most definitely.
And I find myself praying for some of these guys throughout the day, every day.
Yeah.
You know, praying for them, praying for my coworkers. But that's something that helps ground me.
Mm-hmm.
That even in these dark places, you can find the light and you can find the goodness of people.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of these inmates, you know, there's good in all of them. You just have to find it.
Right. And that brings up the philosophical question, though, too. What is good? Define good. You know, for Robbie and I, for our listeners out there, our definition of good is what Christ says it is. Now, we obviously believe that is the truth, that is the one way, that is the light. But Robbie and I can definitely speak for the both of us when I say this. If you don't follow our belief system, we don't hold it against you. We don't treat you any differently.
I love praying
for you and loving you, but we don't.
Yeah, I mean, I love the conversation. The some of the best conversations that I've had working inside a prison is speaking with people of Muslim, of other religions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm going to love you regardless of whatever religion you are.
Yeah.
You know, you're still a child of God, whether you believe you are or not. That's just my belief.
Right.
It's what I'll take to the grave believing. But
definitely.
And I think that gives you, I mean, and that will give you a lot of respect with those inmates too, of being able to not be one-sided, you know, you're wrong, I'm right.
Be flexible within reason. I would heavily advise that. Be flexible, but within reason. Don't be flexible about policy necessarily, but don't be afraid to admit wrongdoing at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
Part, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, because that's going to be what sets you apart from other inmates apart, or from other inmates and officers.
100%.
Is admitting you're wrong and even apologizing to these inmates.
Don't be afraid
but, to do it. Yeah, I mean, we're all human. Us officers, we are one mistake away from ending up where these inmates are.
I used to tell inmates all the time, the only thing that separates me from you guys is y'all got caught and I didn't. I quit before I could get caught. I mean, that's really it. I should be locked up just as much as you guys were, but I quit before I could get caught.
Yeah.
So,
but I think we should probably start trying to wrap it up there. I mean, yeah, we've been at it for a little bit. I think we hit a lot of really good stuff.
Yep.
And again, everybody, if y'all are struggling with some stuff and, you know, you're struggling with your mental health, reach out to me, reach out to Caleb. If you're struggling with your faith and being in this line of work has made you question stuff, reach out to us. We'll talk to you.
Yep.
My door and my heart's always open to everybody.
I'm the same way, guys. Don't ever hesitate. We'll make sure we get some kind of way, direct line to us, posted on one of these platforms. Our producer will be handling that. God love her. She's awesome. Give her a shout out. She's freaking amazing. And she's doing all this work for free. So God love her for that too. And she has to put up with Robbie and I.
Yeah, absolutely. But until next time, guys, we'll see you.
See you guys.